say in many years, Parshas Vayomer Kosai are combined with each other, and last year was one such year. So we're going to give a Dvar Torah on something that relates to both Parshas Vayomer and Parshas Kosai. I have a thing. Normally, I try not to give a Dvar Torah on the same first pasuk and first Rashi of a parsha every single year. Meaning, that's typically where we're drawn to. Always at the beginning of a parsha, if you attend the simcha and you listen to Dvar Torah over the course of the weekend, and you look at trends, 90% of the Dvar Torah usually come from the first three psukim of the parsha. Yet, I make an exception when it comes to Parshas Vayomer. I don't know why, but for some reason, I look back at my notes on Parshas Vayomer, and there's no more food. Sorry. And every single year, I somehow give a Dvar Torah on the first Rashi in Parshas Vayomer. What is that first Rashi in Parshas Vayomer? Ma inyan shmita etzel har Sinai. And strangely, I also find that almost every single year I speak about the first Rashi in Parshas Bechukosai, right? Shati Amelim B'Torah. So let's do that again. Let's look at each of these Rashis, ask a kasha on each of these Rashis, and then maybe come up with some idea, some new idea. So the answer that Rashi gives to the famous question of Ma Inyan Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai, well, why does the Torah have to mention Har Sinai in the context of teaching the halachos of Shemitah, is famously Ma Shemitah Nemru Kol Hosein Pratzav Tukdukei Misinai Avkula Nemru Kol Hosein Tukdukei Misinai, that just like Shemitah, all of the details were given at Har Sinai, so too, and the Torah tells us that, the Torah tells us all of these details we're about to tell you were at Har Sinai, so too, all of the details of everything, of every mitzvah in the Torah, were given at Har Sinai. So it's not l'lamed al atzma yatza, l'lamed al klal kulo yatza. The idea of writing Bahar Sinai is to tell us that Shemitah is a prototype. That just like by Shemitah, the Torah is explicit that all the details at Har Sinai were given at Har Sinai, so to every mitzvah, the details were given at Har Sinai. Now, the idea that Hashem gave us a detailed guidebook is certainly a very important idea, but it's also an idea that could have been expressed through juxtaposing discussion of Har Sinai with any of the Taryag mitzvos. And that's the obvious kasha that all the Mefarshei Rashi ask. Meaning, it answers the question as to why some mitzvah in the Torah should have said Har Sinai in the context of a mitzvah, but it doesn't answer the question as to why Shemitah is chosen as the mitzvah to have mentioned the words Bahar Sinai or the phrase Bahar Sinai in the context of Shemitah. So how does Rashi really answer the question? I mean, if you're asking Ma Inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai, you didn't really answer the question. If you're asking Ma Inyan Eze Mitzvah Eitzel Har Sinai, then you've answered the question. But that wasn't really the question. The question is why Shemitah? Furthermore, going to next week's parsha, Parsha B'chukosai, it's an easy maver sedra this week, short parsha. If you go to Parsha B'chukosai, in B'chukosai telech ves mitzvosei tishmoru v'asisim osam, so yachol zekim mitzvah, says Rashi. You might think, what does B'chukosai telechu mean? It means to be mekai mitzvos, k'shomer v'sosei tishmoru arekim mitzvos amur. But the very next phrase talks about shmiras mitzvos. So B'chukosai telechu can't be about shmiras mitzvos. Hamani mekayim b'chukosai telechu shetiyu amelim b'torah. So what's b'chukosai telechu? That teaches me that we need amelus b'torah. The specific phrase b'chukosai telechu cannot possibly be referring to shmiras hamitzvos, because then it would be redundant. The very next phrase is explicitly about shmiras hamitzvos, and therefore we have no other choice but to say that it means shetiyu amelim b'torah. That it means that one should have amelus in Torah. Problem is that the first half of that Rashi is very logical. The second half is not logical at all. Meaning the first half to say it can't mean Shmiras HaMitzvos because the next phrase means Shmiras HaMitzvos. Very logical, right? Makes a lot of sense. The Torah wouldn't be redundant. But how does that lead to the inescapable conclusion that it must be about Amelus B'Torah? No, it must be about something else other than Shmiras HaMitzvos. But mehechi tesi, that it's about amelus b'torah. What's the hechrich in the phrase b'chukos ha'telechu that it's about amelus b'torah at all? Just because of b'chukos ha'telechu cannot be about shmiras mitzvos doesn't mean that it's about amelus b'torah. Where's the indication that b'chukos ha'telechu means amelus b'torah? And a final question, a third question. At every Siyum Masechta, we quote the Gemara Brachos Daf Chaf Ches, which declares the short passage, the short tefillah of Ani Mashkim Vehem Mashkimim, Ani Mashkim Devar Torah Vehem Mashkim Devar Metelim, Ani Amel Vehem Amelim, Ani Amel Makabel Sachar Vehem Amelim Makabel Sachar. That I wake up early and I work really hard, and I wake up early to learn Torah, and therefore I get reward for what I do. But the people who wake up early and work really hard to do Dvarim B'Telim, they're not Mekabel Sachar. They don't get reward. They don't get any schar for waking up early and going with alacrity and with zrizos to do Dvarim B'Telim, to chase Dvarim B'Telim. That also seems somewhat redundant. Meaning, if I've already said what they're doing, that they're doing Dvarim B'Telim, do I really need to say that they're in a mekabim sachar, that they're not getting schar? Obviously, if you do dvarim b'telim all day, I don't care how much alacrity you have for your dvarim b'telim, it's dvarim b'telim, meaning a person can say, well, I religiously waste time. I'm an expert time waster. Shkayach, you're not going to win any awards for religiously wasting time. So the phrase seems to also be redundant to highlight that we're mekabel schar and they're not mekabel schar. So in his beautiful sefer Chamudei Daniel, Rav Stein points out a fundamental principle of a Torah Jew. And you know, I think it's important sometimes, I think we've mentioned this in the past, that a good idea is not always a new idea. A good idea is very often just a fundamental idea, meaning sometimes going over the yesodos again and again are also important. It's not only important here chidushim, but to fortify the critical principles, the critical yesodos of Yiddishkeit, is very, very important. And the yesod is very clear, and that is, while it's obvious that we have to perform a lot of mundane tasks during the day, everybody has to do mundane tasks during their day, right? There's nobody that doesn't have to eat, there's nobody that doesn't have to sleep, there's nobody that, well, Rav Neuberger doesn't sleep, but most people, there's nobody that doesn't have to do, right? Even Tyler eats. There's nobody that doesn't have to do a variety of mundane tasks. We have to bathe ourselves and care for ourselves and do normal things that normal people do during the day. Everybody has to do those things, but it's equally clear that all of those tasks are meant to be understood as a necessity or a prerequisite in being able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. And they're meant to be viewed in that light. I'm not just going to go to work to make more money. I'm going to go to work so that I can make enough money to raise a Jewish family. Lovdei Hashem. I'm not going to just sleep because I really enjoy my bed. I'm going to sleep so that I'll have the kochos to be able to wake up tomorrow and be able to daven properly and be able to learn properly and be able to be mekadesh shem shemayim with every moment of my day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't stay in shul or in the Beis Medrash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wherever we go, the Torah guides us in everything that we do, and therefore gives purpose to everything that we do, right? That is the yesod upon which we live our lives. It's the yesod upon which our yeshiva hopefully is founded, and you know, the guiding principle, and it's the yesod upon which Rabbi Lapiansky's Ben Torah for Life was written, right? That's the primary yesod of the book, is that you could be a Ben Torah in everything that you do in life, and that we train ourselves with that by every bracha we say on food. I'm not just eating because I'm hungry. I'm grateful that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is providing me with the opportunity to serve Him, and I capitalize on that by gearing my attention toward the Ribbono Shel Olam. When I was an assistant rabbi in Shari Tfila in Lawrence many, many years ago, so every once in a while I was called upon to introduce somebody, a guest speaker, when the rabbi wasn't there. So I guess it was Memorial Day or Labor Day or one of these holiday weekends, the rabbi was on vacation, and they were having a shiur in the shul in the morning by Rav Shmuel Birnbaum. Shmuel Birnbaum was the Rosh Shiva of the Mir Brooklyn. Great biography, by the way. You asked for a recommendation. There's a nice biography of Shmuel Birnbaum. So Rosh Shmuel Birnbaum was the Rosh Shiva of Mir Brooklyn. I mean, basically, it's that he learned a lot. I mean, he was a big masmid. He was known as the masmid Adar. I mean, that's what he was. There's a great video of Rav Shmuel. If you go on YouTube, not that you should go on YouTube, but if you're on YouTube anyway and you want to spend your time being inspired, I think it's Rav Leib Bakst and Rav Shmuel Birnbaum. You've probably seen this video, but probably didn't realize who it was. Rav Leib Bakst and Rav Shmuel Birnbaum were at a chasana once, and they started talking and learning, and it got out of control. They started just like yelling and screaming at each other, like meaning like the old Litvisha style. Ah, you know, he's like he walked away from him like four times. Ah, shikar! And like there was a crowd gathered around, like they were sitting at a table at a chasen, they were talking over a ketzitz or something. They started like, you get to see like the way people used to fight in learning, like the mice I told you with Rav Nata, right, with the breaking the floor in the Beis Medrash, right? I told you that, mice. Yeah. So like you get to see like passion and learning. So Shmuel Birnbaum was a very passionate person. So again, I didn't know him, I didn't know anything about him, but I knew that I had to introduce him. So I said, here's Rav Shmuel Birnbaum, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I had nothing to really say other than that he's a big Rosh Yeshiva and a big Talmud Chacham. So I remember he got up and he said that, you know, ultimately people are going to have to give din v'cheshbon for every moment of time in their lives and have to answer for the large majority of our time that we spend doing other things other than learning. I mean, everybody eats, sleeps, works, family time, all that stuff. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take a look at those times that we were free. The time where none of life's pressures were necessarily knocking loudly at our door. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to see, well, how did you utilize those times? Did you utilize those times for Amalat Torah? And if we did, then our defense is going to hold up. We're going to say, yeah, we didn't spend most of our time in Amalat Torah because we had to do these other things. But all of that was a handmaiden to the Torah. All of that was to prepare us and allow us and enable us to learn Torah. If, however, we squander those opportunities, the Labor Day or Memorial Day or whatever day it was, mornings, he said, you know, where we're not, you know, running to the office, where we're not going to work, and we waste all that time, and that's spent in Bittul Torah and Bittul Zman, then it's not only going to be something that we're going to have to pay for those moments, but now we're going to have to pay for all the other time where we're eating and sleeping, and because apparently it wasn't there to be Mishamesh or Limudat Torah, because the goal wasn't Limudat Torah. That's the Ha'ara that he made before I had to leave out and run to some other events. I missed the whole rest of the year, but I got to hear that Ha'ara. Now, in order to maintain such a mindset of wanting to fill every moment with Torah and this passion for Torah learning, so it's very important that a person has to push himself out of his comfort zone. Meaning Torah learning, for Torah learning to be alive, for it to be exciting, it has to be something that we really push ourselves hard on. It's not something, you know, I was just thinking this morning, I was listening to a shiur in the car, and the Magid, the person giving the shiur, was saying that, you know, Kabbalah Satorah was the aim of Yira, Pachad, and Zaya. I'm like, Zia! But whatever it is, you know, that the Kabbalah Satorah was with this, those adjectives. Ema, Yira, Pachad, right? Those things. Retas, Zia. Are those positive adjectives? Meaning if someone were to say, oh, I got a great idea today. Let's go somewhere where you're going to be terrified. You're going to be shaking, and you're going to be, according to the Magid Shir, sweating, and, you know, or trembling, right? Meaning, you're not like, sign me up, you know, like, I want, can you just get me a ticket to the Yishai Ribo concert? Like, you know, like, that would be better for me. But why, those aren't positive adjectives. How is that Kabbalah Satorah? Why is that? That's what we celebrate every year. We celebrate that experience of Kabbalah Satorah. We celebrate the experience of being pushed out of our comfort zone. That it wasn't a comfortable experience. It was a scary experience. Whenever you're not in your comfort zone, it's a scary experience. You're asked to speak at a new place, and you're not sure, you know, how to connect to the audience, or whatever. You know, whenever you're pushed to do something that's beyond what you're used to doing, you're pushed out of your comfort zone, and that's when you grow. Discomfort is what creates growth. And there's no better example of where that happens than in the Beis Medrash. That when a person is pushing himself to not just go with the flow of doing everything that he always does, but to push himself to accomplish more, to challenge himself a little bit more. That's where kachi darka shel Torah. That's how a person grows in learning. You know, often when Balabas will say, I don't use the term balabas in, as any of you who know me well knows, I never use the term balabas in a negative way. You know, sometimes people use the term balabas, it's just a balabas or whatever. I have tremendous, tremendous admiration for balabatim. So if any board members of my shul are listening, no. I have tremendous admiration for balabatim, for people who work hard all day and still dedicate so much of their resources to support communal institutions and to learning Torah and to to davening with a minyan, v'chule. When a balabas though says that, like, you know, sometimes people struggle with this, that, like, you know, I'm a mamin, but learning just never did it for me. Like, I just can't connect to Gemara. Or even when a high school kid will say, like, I don't like learning Gemara. I don't do that. It's just doesn't talk to me. So very often I'll think of the story of Rav Levi Yitzchak Mibraditchev, where there was an atheist that vociferously explained why he doesn't believe in God. And Rav Levi Yitzchak turned to him and said, you know the God that you don't believe in? I don't believe in him either. You know, very often when someone will say, you know, I don't like Gemara, I'll often think to myself, the Gemara that you don't enjoy, I don't enjoy either. But I don't think you've really connected to enjoyable Gemara, meaning you haven't connected to the kind of learning that's alive, the kind of learning where you're pushed and you push back and you're an active participant. You know, we don't realize how lucky we are to have that experience of Talmud Torah in a live based medrash. And it's very important wherever you go from here, meaning obviously it's Smichas here, so a lot of guys will be in Rabbanus or Klei Kodesh, but even in Rabbanus, you're not always learning all the time, but and sometimes you're just trying to chap moments here and there. And certainly if you're, what do they used to call it here? Lei Kodesh. You know, so certainly you're being Kovei Itim LaTorah whenever you can. It's very important to make sure you're doing it right, to make sure that your time in learning is not only chapping Daf Yomi Shir on double speed on Wayu Torah. Nothing wrong with the Daf Yomi Shir on double speed on Wayu Torah if you're, you know, driving in the car or you're filling in a few minutes here and there. But that your Ikra learning be that vibrant kind of learning, that exciting kind of learning, the kind of learning that's alive. So back to our questions. When the Torah says in B'chukos HaTevechu, Chazal understood that it's Amelus B'Torah. Maral explains in Gor Aryeh that the word Tevechu implies that it's something that we take with us wherever we go. It's something that doesn't stop when we finish doing it, when we finish engaging in that particular activity. We perform mitzvahs, but when we learn Torah, we're not only impacted by that Torah, we're not only impacted by the Torah when we're holich, when we're sitting and learning, but it's holich v'derech. It's Telechu. We're engaged in a journey that's going to bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that Torah impacts who we are in a much more profound way. It's something that because it's active and because we're pushing ourselves out of our comfort zone, we've grown, we've become different people. When we say at Asiyum, Anu Amelim Mekabim Sachar, we're not only referring to our Amelus in Torah. Our Amelus in our jobs also, everything we put effort into, we're Mekabim Sachar. And that's the Chiddush. We eat and drink and sleep and spend time with our family and do all those things. Well, mekabel sachar for that. For those things, obviously for the dvarim betalim, they're not going to be mekabel sachar. But like Shmuel Birnbaum said, because of the dvarim betalim on Labor Day and Memorial Day and Thanksgiving and everything else, because of those dvarim betalim, they're not going to be mekabel sachar for the amelus and everything else that they do. Whereas the one who engages in Talmud Torah in their spare time, so when one is mashkimim l'divrei Torah, will be mekabel sachar for the other amelus, even outside of Talmud Torah. By teaching the halachos of Shemitah in the context of our Sinai, Rav Stein quotes one of the Achronim, explains that we're demonstrating what Shemitah is all about, that it's not just a year off. It's about taking that year off to fill the Bate Medrash. You have an excuse for 6 years if you're a farmer. But that excuse only holds up if during the Shemitah you dedicate yourself to Talmud Torah that was given at Har Sinai. In fact, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky explains, when Rashi says that we didn't observe a single Shemitah from the time we entered Eretz Yisrael until Churban Bayis Rishon, and he says that's why we had 70 years of Golus Bavel. Do you ever question that? Like, Rashi's saying, oh, why 70 years of Golus Bavel? Because 70, there was, he does the Cheshbon, 70 Shemitah cycles went by from Knisa La'aretz until Churban Bayis Rishon, and Mistama, we never observed a single Shemitah. Never, ever observed a single Shemitah? In the days of David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, never once did we observe a single Shemitah. I mean, didn't they? You've seen these inspirational videos of these farmers that are observing Shemitah now. We never did a single Shemitah. Very hard to understand. So says Rabbi Yaakov, it means that we didn't take the time off and use it to learn Torah properly. We kept the halachos of Shemitah, perhaps, but we didn't keep the purpose of those halachos, which would have fortified the entire purpose of Shemitah if we would have spent the time in learning. So to be a Ben Torah, to be a Talmud Chacham person, it's not only enough that a person learns, or a person, you know, chaps a shir here and there, but to be engaged and active. And we're very privileged that that we get to have that experience every single day, to be exposed to real Torah learning. But somewhere along the way, it seems that a lot of people in our community lose that, and it turns into passive learning, and if it turns into passive learning, ultimately it likely will turn into no learning at all. But that's not the ideal. You know, the Gemara Nida Daflam tells us that the Malach teaches the fetus Torah, right, the entire Torah, and then he gives him a little patch, and then he forgets the Torah on the way out. So the Drisha in Yerideas and Reish Samach Dalid comments that the reason we have a Shalom Zachar is to be Menachem Avil, the baby, on the Torah that he lost on the way out, right? So I think Rav Stein quotes this. I remember Rav Chaim Shmulevitz said that he refuses to accept that explanation of the Drisha. He says that can't be correct. Why? Why is that impossible to accept the explanation of the Drisha? He says, because the baby received Torah without any amelus. You don't need a Nicham Avelim for that. He didn't lose anything. Meaning, what's Torah without amelus? What do you need a Nicham Avelim for a Torah without amelus? If there's a Torah without amelus, then it's worth something. Then you need to be Menachem Avil, the baby. But a Torah that he got without amelus, that's worthless. So yeah, because it's Elechus, to amelim b'Torah. My inyan Shemitah Yitzhar Arsina is that Shemitah means that we should be amelim b'Torah, tell the Torah at the highest level. You know, they were at the Torahthon on Sunday. Rabbi Penner was saying afterwards, we were going through like what went right, what went wrong. He was saying how gratified he was that Rabbi Berman spoke at the end, and he highlighted the idea of learning Torah on a high level, of learning something bi'iyun, of not just a daf yomi. Again, I'm a huge fan of daf yomi. I do it, right? You know, but not just a daf yomi, but learning something, you know, with pushing ourselves in learning. And that's really our tradition in our yeshiva. I mean, most yeshivas, that's the tradition of all the yeshivas that are offshoots of the Lashon, as Rabbi Berman spoke about. Someone noted he maybe shouldn't have taken a swipe at the Yekis, but, you know, he was just quoting of Salvechik, but it wasn't a swipe, it was just a different model that was, anyone know what I'm talking about? No one was listening. Okay, good. But to highlight the idea of Amelus Betorah, that's something that is kedai to chazer over, to Yisoda, something to chazer over and over again. Okay.